Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 667, Halo Comes to Life, recorded live on February 8th, 2019. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we have a lot of things to talk about one specific thing in general, so big that we have got some community guests on to talk about it. So first, a Podtacular veteran, we have Laird on the show. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We also have a returning guest over from the Installation 01 team, Church.
Hey, everyone.
And then I don't know if this person has been on the podcast before. I'm thinking he probably did at one point, but I'm not sure. Ward.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ward Levins. Nice to see you all.
Very nice. So we have...
Seems legit.
We'll just cut to the chase, because everything that we're talking about today is about this one particular thing. Outpost Discovery was announced this past week on Tuesday, and if you ever wanted a convention that is just all Halo, this is it. This is the end-all, be-all of Halo conventions. If you've ever contemplated about going to a convention where Halo is at and never had the chance, or never kind of took the chance to go to one, this is the one you want to make.
And the other nice thing is it's on the road, so there's probably a decent chance that you'll be able to find one pretty close to where you live.
Yes. So before we dive into things too much, let's at least explain what Halo Outpost is, in case anyone listening to this doesn't know what it is or isn't paying attention to
the news. If you don't know what it is, then for shame.
You're not a real Halo fan. Oh.
You're not a real Halo fan.
Ooh. Ooh. So Outpost Discovery is a road show that is bringing Halo basically to life in an in-person experience. And there's five different cities that it's going to be at. And it is just basically exploring the Halo universe and totally immersing yourself in what Halo has to offer.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. For those that are watching the live stream version of this, we did add the announcement trailer to our pre-roll segment, which I also highly recommend if you haven't watched yet. It gives a very, very brief glimpse into what will be on the road show. And we're going to go over all the details that we have been made known through the various posts that have been posted over the last 3 days. Between the announcement and the community update that Uni had posted yesterday, we have locations, dates, some brief descriptions of experiences, how to buy tickets, what's included in tickets, ways to possibly participate. So I'm going to start off by reading the official announcement for Outpost Discovery. And it was actually originally announced on the Xbox Insider stream. They had Kiki Wolfkill there to discuss what Outpost Discovery was very briefly. And then there was an official post that got posted on Halo Waypoint that I'm going to just kind of read verbatim. It's pretty short, so just bear with me for a minute. One of our favorite things about the Halo franchise are the many ways to experience its rich setting, from the games themselves to the dozens of novels, live action, and animated films, comics, and more that have been created and crafted over almost two decades. Today we are excited to give fans a brand new way to experience and immerse themselves in this beloved science fiction universe. Welcome to Halo Outpost Discovery. Halo Outpost Discovery is a touring fan experience for all ages that brings the Halo video game universe to life like never before. This weekend-long event lets you step into Halo's vast and epic world with enthralling themed attractions, interactive in-universe encounters, the latest playable game releases, and so much more. Experience details, ticket information, and more are available right now at HaloOutpostDiscovery.com. Whether you're a veteran or completely new to the franchise, Halo Outpost Discovery offers numerous experiences designed with everyone in mind. Featuring more than 300,000 square feet of activities designed to celebrate all things Halo, this weekend-long adventure will be touring summer 2019, appearing at 5 major metropolitan areas across the U.S. in the first year. Explore the ring experience, get up close and personal with real-life Warthog, battle fellow recruits in an epic laser tag arena, experience thrilling in-universe encounters with the latest simulation and VR technologies, and much, much more. Take advantage of hundreds of game stations to play, compete, and explore the storied Halo game series. Attend one of our many themed panels, meet the creators and special guests, and learn how the Halo universe is made, or take part in one of the many available community events to learn how live stream gameplay or build an epic cosplay costume. To bring this experience to life, we partnered with Hirschend Live, one of the world's leading and most renowned attraction and immersive experience creators. From the Harlem Globetrotters to Dollywood, the entertainment experts at Hirschend have delighted people of all ages for decades and are extremely excited to help us immerse you in the universe like never before. We can't wait to share more with you in the coming months and look forward to seeing you and your family's boots on the ground at Halo Outpost Discovery later this year. Head to HaloOutpostDiscovery.com and at Halo Outpost on Twitter for the latest official news, ticket information, and more on the Halo Outpost Discovery summer experience. So I want to pose this question to Ward and GT because myself, Laird, and Church all knew of this before it was announced. So
spoilers.
GT, starting with you, what was your initial reaction to the announcement of Outpost Discovery?
You know, I was actually...
how much I hate you three.
Thank you very much, Todd. Thank you very much.
You know, after telling you for years, you gotta go to PAX.
You know, when I first heard about this, yeah. I was actually pretty surprised about it, to be honest. It's just like, when I first heard about it on Tuesday, it was like, oh, this actually sounds that's pretty cool. And then when I actually read the details on one of the recent community updates by Unishek, it just actually made me excited even more to where I just said, hey, why not? Might as well go ahead and buy some tickets while I have the chance.
While you can.
Yep. Well, either way. So, just like so many things to look forward to. And just, anyway, as someone who's like, gone to RTX just mainly for Halo, but now I finally go somewhere where it's like, primarily focused on Halo this time around. So, yeah.
I know GT's experience as far as conventions goes is RTX from a gaming perspective. Ward, do you have any additional experience outside of RTX for any kind of gaming conventions?
Not really, but although like for my experiences from out of RTX was going to HDS back in New Orleans last summer, which is like sort of close to it, but not like an actual full gaming convention or kind of convention thing that's going on.
Sure.
But still pretty awesome, which is something I definitely recommend and going to if you ever had the chance, like if it's like near your city, like near your area, and like have the time or the money for it, then you should definitely go to one of the HDS events if you had the chance. And I gotta say, it's actually a lot better to see it in person than actually just watch it on Mixer or Twitch. But that's actually my opinion.
It's a very different experience to go to a competitive Halo event in person than it is to watch it on the stream.
It's literally
I imagine
sweat.
So, yeah.
Which is kind of like, watching in football, like college football, like at home, and then just actually seeing it in person in like at a home game, it's actually a lot different compared to like, seeing it on TV or any kind of output device. Yep, that's kind of like
it's
how...
it's always more fun to watch that stuff in person than it is on television. I mean, when I heard the announcement, I was absolutely floored. No idea that they had anything like this coming.
And then Dust told you that he knew about it before, and you were just like, ah.
No, Dust did not.
Wait,
nobody
when did you find out?
Anything.
He found out on Tuesday.
Aw.
Dust is a good little boy following
his
dad.
He's a sneaky person now.
Yeah, I'm surprised he managed to keep it under wraps.
I think the only thing I mentioned to GT is there's something coming summer of next year that if you can make it, you'll want to make it. I think that's probably the only thing I said to GT until Tuesday.
Yeah, it's it was definitely a surprise to hear. You know, of course, the first thing I did is look to see where they were. And unfortunately, the closest one is about 10 hours away driving. And then I looked at ticket costs and I'm like, yeah, I'd love to go, but one, I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to get the time this year to be able to go as much as I would love to go, but it absolutely is an awesome thing. It's the closest thing to a Halo theme park I think we're going to get.
Pretty much.
From what I've seen so far, the attractions that they have there look like they're going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to hearing people talk about them. So, you know, I just can't wait till the first show's over with. You know, maybe we'll get some infinite hints. I don't know. But maybe towards the later ones. But they probably keep their mouth shut on that. But
there probably will be. So, as far as the locations and costs, let's just kind of go ahead and get that out of the way since that's some easy details. There's 5 locations in the U.S. that is going to be done for this summer. On the social stream, they did had Kevin Paul, or KP, on the stream to discuss a little bit about Outpost Discovery. They did mention that depending on how well Outpost Discovery does, that they are looking to continue the roadshow and possibly take it to other cities, maybe other countries. There's a lot of people in the UK that were like, UK event or Canada event, Australia? And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when we got the inside scoop, we definitely got the feeling that this year is going to be kind of a trial run and that they really want to see if it catches on, potentially taking it other places, other cities, other countries.
The concept before they can put both feet in that pool.
Honestly, it surprises me that it's as big as it is right now.
I don't think a lot of people realize they might use this actually to promote the TV show that's coming out.
That's definitely possible.
Yeah, and
probably the size of it is probably a lot to do with the people that are organizing the event for them. They've got a lot of experience about showmanship and about what draws people to these type of events. So they probably sat down with them and talked to them about what kind of attractions would most likely draw the biggest audience from the following, as well as maybe draw in some new people.
So the locations for this summer, and it is all this summer, is going to start off in Orlando, Florida, July 5th through the 7th. Then location number 2 is going to be Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That'll be July 19th through the 21st. I have tickets for that event. Third one is Chicago, Illinois, which will be August 2nd through August 4th.
Yeah, baby, deep dish pizza.
Fourth location will be Houston, Texas, August 16th through the 18th, and I will be at that one. I have tickets for that one as well. And then the fifth location will be Anaheim, California, and that will be August 30th through September 1st, which I do not have tickets for that, but I will likely buy tickets for Saturday and Sunday for that one.
So which ones do you have tickets for, Dust?
I currently have tickets for Philadelphia because that one's the closest to where I currently live, and Houston because I'm originally from Houston. And I get to visit my family, and I'm hoping to convince my mom to go.
That's the problem.
Yep. And I'm kind of looking to doing the same thing with my parents, as well, since my dad grew up in Houston as well.
I'm hoping to come up to Philly. That's probably about the only one I'd be able to make it out for.
I think you should
apply. Well, for me, it's about a 3-hour difference in drive for me between Chicago and Houston.
Go to Chicago.
Squarely Midwest.
When they announced it, I was really hoping they would have something closer. You know, something I could make, you know, really just make it a 3-day trip.
A 3-hour tour.
But unfortunately, there's a significant drive time, so.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
And definitely flying is out of the option, just with the way the airfare is. Seems like the closer you have to go, the more expensive the airfare is.
Pretty much how it works. It's like they designed it that way.
I was going to say, are you sure? Because I found in Canadian dollars, really awesome direct flight from Vancouver.
Flying in and out of Canada is
but it's much easier. Because
you're further away.
Stupid tax. Anyways,
you'd be surprised.
No, we have to pay like stupid security taxes because of, you know, maintaining the borders and anyways, whatever. That's not important. But the thing was $425 return Canadian, which is like $350 US to go to Chicago.
Yeah,
correct. Is that? Oh, that's a direct thing
from where I live to Denver, Colorado.
Yeah,
where my family is, cost more than a ticket from where I live to Las Vegas or Nevada.
Well, in theory, couldn't you do this? Get yourself a multi-ticket flight and then just not go the rest of the way? I know that's what a lot of people do, beat the airlines. It's not illegal.
I know a lot of people that fly into Vegas and because it's super cheap to fly into Vegas and out of Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And if it stops on your way to a certain city, just get off the flight and keep.
Yeah, I want to lay over in Denver. Oh,
I'm just saying.
I mean, honestly,
there are ways.
Yes, there are ways around it, but it's just you know, even at those prices, it's much cheaper.
The cost is still prohibitive.
A couple of tanks of fuel are a lot cheaper than, you know, 2 airline tickets.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm going to Chicago, because I've got someone's, you know, extra room that I can stay in and. I have to pay for a hotel and all that stuff.
So you got that going for you, but if you don't have that. That's the other part of the
equation. The closest people I have to Chicago are in Cincinnati.
That's a bit of a hike.
That would be a big bit of a drive to go to something like that. I would love to go, and I hope that it does continue, and maybe hopefully they get one closer to me on the next round. Like, you know, downtown would work. I'd love that.
I basically could probably guess that if it does really well, there will be more. Like, obviously there would be more. They're not going to give up money-making things that people like.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it's got to prove itself first.
Yep. It's got to reach some kind of demand, that's for sure.
You know, I honestly... I'm honestly baffled that more people do not hold stuff in Kansas City, because it's smack dab in the middle of the country.
But is it population dense for, I guess, that particular?
Because remember, they said on the live stream that
crowd,
the cities that were,
you know, we hold Big 12 tournaments, you know, basketball tournaments, plenty of hotel space. They've got an arena that could hold it.
I mean, it's something to... It's a good question.
It's just interesting because you have a very central location that could serve 8 states without being, you know, just an absolute atrocious drive. But
that's a good point.
I just don't understand. I've never understood why these type of events just they just bounce around Kansas City.
GT, quick question. If one certain roadblock, whatever it would be, was eliminated from you, to what would be, like, if it was the cost of tickets or a hotel or whatever was eliminated, would you be able to go? Like, that, if you could pick a city, just out of curiosity.
Well, currently, my biggest trouble right now is time.
Okay. That's between you and...
Cost is not exactly the issue.
Okay, because I was just going to say...
My problem is more time.
You could most likely get a... Contacular could probably get a pad, right? I mean, and get approved.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the dollars is not the problem. It's more time. Like I alluded to on a previous podcast, my life's getting really interesting and is fixing to change. So this year, I'm not going to have a lot of time. I'm hoping to have it corrected by next year so I can go to PAX.
That would be cool.
That'd be awesome.
That will possibly be infinite year.
Yes.
Yep, more likely.
I'm really hoping. I'm trying to time this with a game launch so that, you know, I can get the full effect.
Yeah.
But I don't want the PAX plague. You guys can keep that.
PAX Pox.
I have not gotten sick from PAX yet.
I haven't had the PAX Pox.
And I definitely won't be able to attend PAX until more likely 2021.
It's only been like the big PAX boxes were like 2009, 13, and 16. I got it in 2000.
Yeah, 16 was one.
13, I remember that. It was down for 3 days.
I got it, I think, maybe the third time I went to PAX, but other than that, I think I've only gotten it one other time, and aside from that, I haven't gotten any sickness from conventions.
As long as you wash your hands, emergency, and you take emergency and water.
Yeah, and get some good amount of sleep. That's another thing, too, is actually getting sleep.
What's sleep?
See, that's the hard part for me, because I'll be so wound up.
Well, here's the best part that you're going to learn to go share.
Yeah, follow your own advice,
Laird. I may have to have a tranquilizer dart.
you need to follow your own advice there, Laird.
Yeah, well, last year was an exception. The people that I normally, you know, help out are not very convention adept, and they rely on me. And this year I told them they need to figure it out.
You're on your own.
Pretty much. Dad is done. Figure it out. Get out, kids. You're 18. Out the door. Get a job.
You're 18. Out the door.
Go to school.
Dang. Completely savage over here.
Well, it'll be nice for this too. Is this will be? I took my wife and I went to RTX. I guess technically 2 years ago. So this will be her second convention, and it'll be all Halo.
Nice. Is she? Which one is she coming to? All the ones you're going to?
I have tickets for both of us to Philly and Houston.
All right, sweet.
So I'm gonna laugh when she becomes.
I spent $1,500 on VIP passes.
Man,
whoa!
You freaking made of money, dude, over here.
Let's just say we got quite a bit of money for Christmas this year, and
Oh yeah. Were you?
I've been saving.
How long were you on furlough?
I was not on furlough, actually.
Oh dang!
I was one of the agencies that did not get furloughed, but we have been saving, and we actually had a little extra savings from last year, and I've been trying to save up because I knew this was coming.
It's true. So it's like that was a nice
advanced warning.
It's like I'm trying to save up for flights and rental cars because in most of the cities I have someone that can crash
He's
with.
He's the Dust Bus. That's his nickname.
He really is. I have to admit, I didn't break any NDA, but I did maybe drop a hint to some friends of mine that they shouldn't go to, that they shouldn't frivolously spend money before the summer rolled around.
Might want to save that.
I said summer road trips.
Yeah, definitely going to be focusing on my backlog during the summer.
Summer road trips.
That's for sure.
And there's a lot of prep stuff to do just from, I'm sure like every content creator and Halo community out there probably preparing for it. So
probably just trying to figure out how to make it work.
Trying to figure out who's going where. Like I said, Chicago has Green Skull, Hidden Experience, Halo Cannon, because he lives there.
Yeah, he does. That's right.
And the reason I chose Chicago, because it's in the middle, and I want to go to Chicago, so I've never been. But most likely, most of the original Halo CE cast, this is just my pure 100 speculative guess, nothing confirmed, but they all live there. That's true.
Pete Stacker, that's a good point.
I'm sorry, I can't remember what Filthy Spark's name is. But
Tim Dodabo?
Tim Dodabo. They live there. You know, Steve, I guess, moved away because he used to be there. But, you know, most of the original cast of the game is the original CE game. Lives locally.
It's true.
So, I mean,
that's a good
it's
point.
It's just a simple matter of, hey, want to come and meet your fans like at Halo
Fest? Want to come back and
yep, and now be that famous again? I think I remember that Bungie used to be located in Chicago before
they did. Yeah, that is correct. Fancy that.
Yep, and then until they got bought by Microsoft after the Myth 2 catastrophe that they had, and then they had to I moved to Seattle and then make some for the Xbox back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the Orlando and Chicago ones, I'm not sure if I go to those unless I get invited to go, which there's a decent possibility I could.
So you can sleep in the backyard.
Whose backyard? That's the real question.
Well, the backyard of the guy that I'm staying on.
Oh, true.
I don't have tickets.
Just grab a giant tent. It'd have to be a pretty big tent for dust.
That's where we're putting Sean. He's out in the tent in the backyard.
Oh, really? I thought I was being sarcastic.
No, no, snoring tax. We implemented a snoring tax on him.
Oh, gosh.
Every snore is a dollar.
Oh, gosh. It's like the swear jar, but it's the snore jar.
And Kevin's like, Halo Tiny House Movement is a UNSC bunker.
I don't snore. I'm very lucky.
So I will probably turn the PAX trip into a two stop. So first stop being Seattle for the first part of it, for the everything that happens leading up to PAX.
And then California.
Like Wings. Yeah. And then like do Community Day at the studio if they still have that thing.
We're trying to see if we can get a pretty big showing from the IO1 crew. For
at Anaheim PAX or at PAX? Okay.
At PAX.
Well, you guys should definitely do a panel at one of these events, like Philadelphia, for example.
Yeah, we could ask. I hadn't thought about that, to be completely honest. We're trying to see. We've got a couple of team members who are wanting to fly in from Australia, from the UK, for PAX this year. Man. We're like looking at like renting out a decent sized B&B, making it happen.
Wow.
Well, there was this one that I kept on wanting to rent at PAX, but no one wanted to because it was 5 miles away. It was a 3-floor, 5-bedroom, 2-bathroom for $380 a night US. I couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah, we're probably looking at one of those. But he sent it to me. We're like looking at logistics and everything to see like, well, we would do rent rental cars, like how would we
5 miles away.
Shuttle everyone around, that kind of thing. Yeah,
everyone the suburban. Like, no, we gotta be downtown.
Now we gotta get like roll caravan up in like the freaking giant paddy wagons.
Giant.
You just need to caravans. Get a couple of black Suburbans.
Black Suburbans or white vans, either or. Panel vans, naturally.
Says it's the rusty and says candy on the side.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we should modify
Jeeps to look like warthogs.
The actual event.
Yeah, sure. Maybe might be a good goal.
We're talking around it, so.
I mean, sure. We could maybe talk a little bit, like, because, I mean, we've only really mentioned that we got the advanced scoop. Like, there was a lot of cool stuff there that is really exciting, and it was really cool because they were like, yeah, they brought us into a part of, like, one of the showcases that we were looking at, and they're like, hey, this is going to be, like, an open discussion board type thing where we got to see what their plan was and, like, react to it, like, live and say like, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? What's feedback? Like, we want to make this happen. How can we make it better?
So before we get to that, let me still finish up on the like baseline details. So
okay.
I got the locations and then ticket prices, I think, is another big one that people are interested in. Save up if you haven't started saving already. Single day general admission is $60 a day. If you want to get a 3-day general admission for the whole weekend, it's $130.
That's what I did.
And then the single day VIP ticket, and I'll go over what the difference is between general admission and VIP in a second, but VIP ticket is $140 a day and $320 for the weekend. There is discounted costs for groups of four or more as well. So you get if you're doing single day, it's $5 off, so $55 a day. And then if you're doing, actually, that is this. I guess I don't have it. They only have the ticket list as quad for individual days. So only the individual days you get the discount.
The other thing is regarding the discount. If you have a group of 10 or more, there's apparently a more. I don't want to call it significant, but you have to contact the whatever, it's on the contact page, but you go to the contact us and send them a message. They'll give you a bigger discount. I don't know how much it is, but it's
that's cool. Yeah, I've definitely got a crew of folks from where I'm from that would love to make the trip up.
Yeah, and also whenever you're going to purchase your tickets, they're going to also offer you, say that they're going to offer insurance for $20, which might be like an extra $20, but it's definitely worth it. If you can't go, if there's some kind of emergency situation, like with your family members, or you got to go to jury duty, go at military duty,
whatever,
or any kind of real life situations. Yeah, I definitely recommend him buying that as well, just in case.
That's what I did.
Yep, same here.
Or you just simply change your mind. You don't want to go, right?
Yep.
If you do that, then shame on you.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. If you have more than 10, there's a contact page actually on the website that you can just click to from the FAQs. The differences in the VIP and the general admission. So general admission gets you a 14-day trial of Xbox Game Pass, which redemption codes are provided at badge pickup. And then there's an exclusive Spartan Hazel and Spartan Owen avatar costume. And they don't have details on that quite yet, but those will come soon. For the VIPs, you get an hour early admission, then general admission on all days. You get to stay 1 hour later as well. There's a VIP gift pack, which includes a UNSC dog tag, exclusive Halo Outpost Discovery Funko Pop figure, and a drawstring bag. There's an exclusive VIP lounge. There is a 3-month trial of Xbox Game Pass. And there's an Outpost Discovery t-shirt for your Xbox avatar.
Yep.
So that's the difference between VIP and general admission.
Pretty significant. The extra time is really, I think, the biggest value that comes out of that, because like having extra time to interact with other people, members in the community, and just to check it out, like when there's maybe less of a crowd and less of a crush, is just really, that's really big.
Yeah, and it's not as hectic or packed, and you really get to enjoy the experience and the environment a lot more.
I think that extra hour at the end of the day will be the best part, because the rest will leave and you can just, I want to go on whatever theme ride or whatever, like the escape room, and you can just grab you and whoever from the community and you're like, yeah, we're doing a community run, and then it's perfect for blogging it or whatever, you know, recording it for YouTube or something. It's just going to be more relaxed and casual.
Yeah, I definitely get a good vibe about that.
Under the FAQ, they also have some hotel reservation stuff that you can do. So it looks like they have a hotel per location that they've partnered with to get you some discounted rates. Those are all in the FAQ section of Outpost Discovery as well. So if you don't have someone to stay with that's locally there, they do have hotels that they've partnered with.
Yeah, like especially Hilton, which is 0.2 miles away from the convention, from what I saw.
And for all the cosplayers, they encourage cosplay. There is standard weapons and props policies that they have. All the details are on the HaloOutpostDiscovery.com website. Metal swords, knives, and spears are not permitted.
It's the standard safety rules.
Yes, very, very standard convention-type weapons and props policies apply. But obviously, there are massive parts of the Halo community that are into cosplay, and they definitely want to see that there.
So bring your boom guns instead of your big props. No.
Actually, they would probably turn away boomco ones because they're technically functional.
Yeah, projectile, right?
Which is funny, ironically, because they'll probably sell them there.
Actually, that's right. They probably sell them there, and then you buy it, and it's like you have to leave now.
You know, we have your money.
Yeah. So, admission hours on Friday is 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday is 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday will be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
So PAX standard convention and PAX hours.
So there you go. That's all. So that's all the baseline details stuff about the actual event themselves. So Church, if you wanted to go back down your little sidebar that you were going to.
Down back my little rabbit hole. Yeah.
Yep. there needs to be a Halo equivalent of rabbit hole.
Flood hole. Nope, flood let's hole. Not. No,
no, let's, no, 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 cup no, no,
hole.
No, no,
no. Slip hole.
Or a cup hole.
Boa hole.
Slip
hole.
A A space squirrel hole.
Slip yeah. space hole?
Space hole.
Oof. Space hole. Oh, jeez.
Or a ring hole.
Yeah. So, anyway.
We got a few people in the chat like, what just happened?
This is now porn.
No,
chat.
Don't worry. Calm it down. So, the showcase includes a bunch of different stuff. So, we've got, and I'm just going to read it off the website here. We've got the Hall of History, the Ring Experience, Covenant Escape, Combat Deck, Training Grounds, VR, Pelican Training. Hopefully, yeah, that ought to be pretty cool. Maybe it's like a flight simulator type thing. UNSC kiosk, target range, mega constructs, and a PX, which is post exchange.
While we're on that, I wanted to read through all these just to kind of give the generic description of them. So the Hall of History, they have the beating heart of the Halo Outpost Discovery is the Hall of History, where you immerse yourself in the achievements and tribulations of humanity through a combination of informative graphics, artifacts, and tangible visuals pulled directly from the Halo franchise, featuring everything from the UNSC weapons and accessories, uniforms, and iconic two-scale Warthog vehicle.
Calm down.
Yeah. Life-size sculptures and more. This exuberant, visceral tour of the Halo universe is the perfect introduction to your journey. And the Hall of History, new and experienced Halo fans alike find something to discover. It'd be cool if they had a Believe version 2.
You mean the diorama for Halo 3? Oh, yeah. I would love to see that as well.
People try to steal that. No way they bring that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think they have parts of it.
They put it behind a glass case or something.
Yep. I think they have parts of it at 343 Industries, while I think they still have the rest at Bungie Studios.
They do.
There's pieces everywhere. There's pieces everywhere, basically.
Except Kevin doesn't have one. And he wants one.
Ancient artifacts, I'd say.
I still have that Mega Block Scarab.
I have it. It's unbuilt.
The one that I got at Community Day.
Oh.
I still have that poster that I won in the raffle. Like back in 2015 for Potacular, which you can kind of like see in the background in frames.
Oh yeah, yep. The Halo. Which one was that one? That's the.
It was the Halo 5 Guardians in his poster that had your signatures on there.
That's right. Yeah,
and all that.
Look at that, Dust. You're famous.
You're e-famous.
Very very small amount of
fame. I can't say that.
Pretty good times. Although I still can't forget the time whenever. Or Duquesne, like one of the mega blocks, and then just like, and Haas tried to steal it from him. But I guess we're kind of getting off topic right now. So, yeah.
You know, just a little bit.
Good times, I'd say.
I think the escape room is going to be what everyone's going to, I mean, the other things, but the escape room for me is what's going to be the fun thing, I think, that I'll spend the most time in.
I mean, yeah, it's all going to be cool. Isn't it?
Yeah,
there's a covenant.
Yeah,
covenant themed escape room.
Yeah,
the pitch that they told us, was that it was going to be basically like escaping from inside a covenant ship, which is
So like Truth and Reconciliation in real life, huh? Yeah, but mine, I'm actually more excited about the cinematic dome experience where it actually kind of immerses you as if you're on a Halo ring. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most.
So. I'll do both of those descriptions real quick. So the Covenant Escape, they have explore a reclaimed section of a Covenant ship in this escape room style experience. Here, attendees aim to familiarize themselves on various high-risk boarding maneuvers and strategies commonly undertaken by the UNSC. As the challenges intensify, guests must work together to disable the Covenant technology as quickly as possible in order to set themselves free. So basically a themed escape room where you're trying to kind of escape from a Covenant ship is kind of the gist there. And then the Ring Experience that you were talking about, Ward, they say the Ring Experience lets attendees explore the story of the mysterious Halo array through artifacts that leap off the levels and pages of some of your favorite Halo titles. At the center of the Ring Experience is a visually immersive multi-projector dome-based theatrical experience featuring a never-before-seen exploration of a Halo ring giving fans a brand new appreciation for the sheer scale and magnitude of these ancient installations. And which someone is like typing like crazy.
Yeah, which is kind of like similar to how they do it at one of the planetariums in my home city in Baton Rouge. Like, they actually have some of that at as well, which is probably one of the reasons why I'm kind of excited about it, since, you know, that's like one of the things I used to enjoy seeing when I was a kid back in 2003 and all that.
Yeah, it's a lot of different things that the...
There's a lot of typing going on.
Yeah, let's chill on the typing.
You can try to use a mic instead, buddy.
Yeah. There's a lot of things from the Halo books and all the external... Well, I say external to the game, so that's what I mean by external fiction, that I'm hoping is kind of covered between Hall of History and the Ring experience.
Yep, that'll be awesome. And also, I've seen like an actual Warthog, even though I probably saw a replica of it back at RTX about a few years ago.
Pete Cooper's?
Yeah, which I did like, you know, post back on Twitter about yesterday.
They have a map. I'm trying to see if I can find it. They have like a top down map, which was on the website. I'm trying to pull up.
Was it actually on the website?
I think so. Yeah.
I couldn't find one when I was looking. I know there was.
Yeah, map display. Go to locations and then just click on map display.
You should put it up on the screen so people can see. Also,
it's a different. It looks like it's a slightly different layout for each one.
Got it.
Probably just given the built facility that they have.
So what's the one that looks most like the one that we saw? Like the initial
market,
one.
The marketplace is going to be pretty big, so I'm kind of interested to see what that's going to be.
Yeah, same here.
I think part of that is probably the PlayStations, because they mentioned in the video, and I think in the stream, that there's supposed to be over 200 PlayStations?
Game stations. Yeah.
Game stations. Yeah, so I'm guessing the marketplace is probably where those game stations are going to be.
So we actually saw a
map,
like a diagram, yeah, and a map and a lot of stuff that of like what it was going to look like when we in the special behind closed door thing. It looks like the Philly is the closest to what we saw, I think.
Yeah, and I think when we,
in terms of layout,
when we saw it at Community Day originally, they didn't have the marketplace.
No, depicted. The marketplace looks new. Yeah,
they mentioned that there was going to be play spaces, but I think based on the discussions that we had, they didn't realize.
See, I'm curious as to whether or not the marketplace is going to be for that, or if it's going to be like for or vendors.
Yeah, it's
maybe
probably
or
a mix of both.
Yeah.
Well, so the exchange is supposed to be where all the selling stuff is supposed to be.
Yeah, but they might pull in like community vendor type things. It's I don't know. It's interesting. Is there a description for marketplace on the website? Yeah, post exchange and marketplace. The marketplace will feature vendors that specialize in a variety of items, including merchandise, collectibles, cosplay materials, games, and a few surprises. So it looks like they're maybe bringing in some community stuff for that, and or people that have talents and things.
So they did in the participate section say, or they have a sponsors submissions section there. So for companies to come in and sell their merchandise.
Yeah, there's an exhibitor one too, which exhibitors for the marketplace. So it looks like it is going to be. Also have like components.
Oh, so it's like a
classic convention type thing.
Yeah,
too,
so that's
which
be
is
the
pretty
show
exciting
type thing.
You might have people like selling props that are invited or, you know, whatnot from like say the 405th or something.
Yes, and probably partners that are already established,
like
in the Halo universe, like Astros, and there might be some of that stuff too.
Mega Constructs, I'm sure, will be there, and Dark Horse, and.
Oh yeah.
Well, Mega Constructs has its own.
Well, yeah, they have thing. That to build their own your little Spartan diorama thing, but you know, I was
that'll
just naming
cool.
Some of the partners. Dark Horse will be there. We'll just leave it at that.
The couple other things that we haven't touched on yet are the target range. So this is I think this is actually Boomco by the description of it, because it says...
Yeah, that's what they mentioned.
The fast and fun tests of skill features, Unicy and Covenant-themed blasters, target alleys, and integrated touch panels. So yeah, that sounds like Boomco to me.
Have they mentioned the thing that I mentioned in the chat?
I don't think that's anywhere on the website now.
Okay, then never mind.
It's probably going to be incorporated somewhere, but...
Yeah, but I just want to make sure.
That would fall under the list of things that we still can't talk about. It's cool, though.
We're going to have to wait till the next community update, I suppose.
There'll probably be several community updates or before we hear about it.
Just have to wait until you get there.
Well, it all depends on Unishek himself.
There's also a Pelican training simulator.
I'm actually really kind of excited to check that out, because I really love like flight sims, that kind of thing.
I wonder if they're going to have the seats.
The way they described it, yeah, they're...
If it were like a scale replica where you get to sit in the cockpit and do some stuff, that would be pretty legit.
On the website,
yeah, hopefully, kind of like, you know, recaptures
the simulator.
Well, let's
not pull in up detail
the description, because they have like very generic overview stuff.
Never mind then, because I remember what they said, and I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, they said it's a very, very brief description. It seems like that one's one of the ones they're trying to keep under wraps.
Point is, there's a lot of really exciting stuff, and like you there's only so much we can say, but you can definitely take it from us, because we saw some pretty impressive stuff there. Hey, it's Greg in the chat. Nice, I just noticed. Yeah, there's some pretty impressive stuff that we saw that is going to be there. That is just going to blow people away. I mean, it blew us away, and we were just looking at like sketches and like blueprints and stuff, and even then, just seeing that, it was like, dang, this is going to be incredibly impressive.
Even the most vocal members of the community that have big followings were very excited about what they saw also, without naming names.
Yep, everyone just about soiled their pants. I think that's probably pretty accurate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other couple of things is a combat deck. So it's a real-life Halo-themed laser tag arena. And then there's a Training Grounds VR, which I'm kind of under the impression it's kind of the next step from the...
Spartan training thing on Windows 10?
Yeah.
That was that was such a tease when we got to try it.
It was absolutely a tease.
Halo Recruit.
That was such a insert word tease.
I was really excited when they put the trailer and they showed like the thing that we saw so that we could actually talk about it. Because that was a previous year PAX thing, and it took like a year for it to come out.
Well, when I came back from it, because I was the first one to experience it, it was like, oh man, I want to tell you guys, but I couldn't even tell you in the lobby. They just told me, keep going, don't ruin the surprise.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I did actually get to experience Halo Recruit back at HCS in New Orleans.
And right when you're about to jump on the Warthog, it's like, aww.
That thing was so cool.
And there's a couple of things that they haven't listed on here that Church Laird and myself know about. Which will even...
Dun, dun,
like,
dun.
A lot of the stuff that's already listed is, like, things that a lot of people would want to see. But there's a couple of things, I think, for hardcore Halo fans that is still just going to, like, take it that one step further of, like...
It'll be the cherry on top.
Yeah. There's also a couple of other things that hasn't really been brought up yet. And I think it's... Yeah, this... Well, I'm going to confer with Laird if it's safe to say this. I'm pretty sure it is.
In the chat, right? Okay.
But there's going to be a lot of... Obviously, a lot of people. There are a lot of Halo fans and other things to bring. And one of the things they're trying to really make this event is... And this was how it was pitched to us originally. If you wanted to bring your relatives that knew nothing about Halo into a Halo experience to see what Halo's about, this would be the event that you bring them to.
Yeah. It really is interesting and pretty cool to me that they're kind of marketing this experience to like a larger audience. and trying to make it more accessible, because I think that I do think that that's really, really cool.
I think they touched on that during the live stream. I didn't catch the whole thing, but I know for sure that they're, you know what, right now I would say go check the FAQ on their page, because there was definitely a section about that. So go check that before I answer yes or no.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I saw something about that.
So Sketch did say during the live stream that they, and 343's worked with the 405th before and other Halo cosplaying groups, they are looking to either have them supported in some official capacity or kind of in a volunteer capacity as well. So Sketch did mention that on the stream, and that might lead to some other things being done to kind of enhance the experience of the event itself. So just imagine, and this is something I still need to follow with KP on, but like, I don't know if there's any kind of like formal things that they're going to do with the 405th as active duty military would normally do, like doing formations or anything like that. So it was one of the things where it seemed like they wanted to really envelop you in the universe. So getting some of the 405th in there to have Spartans walking around the floor, it makes it actually feel like you're in universe. So they talked about having actors in there to really make it to where the experience that you're in is that you're in the Halo universe.
Yeah, the actors are always in character.
Oh, nice.
Trying to make it as immersive as possible, and that's just really cool, because they want to like try and make this like an all in one experience. And I for one would love that. Like, yeah, that would be absolutely crazy if they could pull that off.
Yeah. I think that it's safe to say they really want the experience to be, if you were in a hub of UNSC brought to life, this is what the experience would be. Almost like a recruiting station in a way.
That's exactly if you're a colonist on a far out world, this is you coming in to see, hey, my life can be better if I join the UNSC or whatever. That's kind of like what they pitched.
Yeah. So Game Sends Air on Twitch brings up a point that has actually been addressed multiple times, that Anaheim does conflict with PAX due to availability of convention centers and other areas that are needed to house such
a large scale.
Right, because it's 300,000 square feet of Halo stuff. So the places that they were looking at that could actually support the experiences and the size that they needed were very limited on days. And this is something we actually brought up in the meeting, saying, hey, one of these conflicts during RTX, one of these conflicts during PAX, and one of these conflicts during San Diego Comic-Con, which are three pretty big Halo community events. And they're like, yeah, we know it sucks. See, but
that's the thing. But like, it always happens with conventions. Like, convention, the only dates that work for conventions are the dates that work for every convention. And that's always how it ends up happening. If you go to one, you don't go to another.
But I think it's safe to say, at least for Outpost Discovery, They're really trying to tailor this towards Halo fans, and there is a bit of it that is supposed to be kind of more for the generic, but I think it's meant more for Halo fans who really want to experience Halo and bring others that may be kind of like casual Halo fans or family, and bring them, say, hey, this is the Halo that I know and love.
Kind of like Dust and your wife.
Exactly, yeah. Like, exactly like that.
You know, once you get them in, they can't run away, kind of thing.
Halo is just kind of has that effect on people.
It really does. I mean, there are very few other IPs that can, I think, do what Halo has done as far as enticing and building a community and building it in such a way where there's so many different pieces to it that you can have such diverse communities that follow different aspects of the franchise. I don't think there's really any other IP that does that just about as well as Halo does.
Yeah, Star Wars?
I can't.
Star Trek, maybe?
Sort of Star Wars. But Star Wars is, and Star Trek.
I was thinking video games specifically, but...
Oh, well, it's true, yeah. but like
kind
also...
of the king of this kind of thing.
Star Wars and Star Trek have been around for so much longer than Halo, and they existed across multiple forms of media.
Which is why I'm saying...
Which is why Halo's kind of catching up to that. It's a testament. It's a testament to how incredible Halo is.
Same goes with the Alien series as well, especially with the second movie in the series where... one of the characters looked like Sergeant Johnson and all that.
Yeah, Sergeant Napalm.
I mean, that's who Sergeant Johnson was based off of, practically.
Yep.
Didn't he pass away this week?
Did he pass away?
What?
Are you sure? The last I heard, he was actually approached by Pete Cooper to be in his film, the Halo film that he was doing.
No, there was some character this week or last week that was inspired by some science fiction, like other character in science fiction that passed away. Maybe it wasn't the Johnson person. It was
no, he did pass away.
A couple years ago, maybe.
It wasn't this week. It was recent.
Okay. All right. Anyway, sorry. Tangent. Yeah. So there's a lot, and quite frankly, I've forgotten quite a little bit of everything that they showed us because it was a lot to take in. It's like I'm not prepared for all of this.
We'll try to sort through all them secrets.
Well, let's just say that for the canon and lore nerds, there's going to be tidbits that they're going to want that'll be coming out soon. Whenever they go full details about the event,
It's just a lot of cool stuff. That once again, I am incredibly excited to go, and I'm a broke freaking student, and I'm gonna still probably figure out a way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm broken. I'm not even a student. No.
Yeah.
I'm still a student, but hopefully until by the end of this year, if this semester goes well for me.
So what we're saying is we're starting a GoFundMe right now for all of us to go.
Let's kickstart it.
Kickstart,
Indiegogo, GoFundMe, Patreon.
Let's start
a Patreon without actually producing anything.
This GoFundMe stuff is getting out of control for some people.
Oh, absolutely.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
A lot of the GoFundMes on there are legit, and you know, the people need help. But I've seen so many of them. They'll get like $3 million when they need 50 grand.
My favorite was the joke one was the guy that wanted to make an omelet or whatever, and he needed like 250 and he ended up getting...
You mean like the potato salad?
Yeah. and he got like 50
potato
000.
Salad, man.
That was great. I was like, man,
it's becoming the new change.org, I suppose.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you know, if everybody would just donate a dollar, everybody'd be rich.
As a quick glance at how in-depth it was, this was our schedule for Community Day, and I have, like, in the margins everywhere notes.
I was going to say, don't put that up too close. There might be something
don't put
on
that
there.
Too close up to the camera.
Spoiler alert, man.
No.
Don't make that legible.
People are going to zoom and enhance on that bad boy now.
I held it far enough away because I knew if people were going to try to pull stuff off of it. But no, I have, like, notes all in the margins.
Up a page of black lines. So she's done a
just
photocopied it.
Just a giant page that says redacted on it.
What you should do is sell that on eBay and, like, you know, take the money from the millions you'd make off it just to, like, go to the events.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and then they turn him away at the door because it'd be like, hey, you trade secrets, man. You're done.
But, yeah, so it was, like, I sat down with KP for an hour after the meeting to talk about potential ideas and other things for this event. So it'll be interesting to see how much, and I've already seen like little tidbits of like, oh, we talked about this and we talked about this and we talked about this. So it's there are a couple things I think that we've already seen change from the presentation that we saw back in September.
There's definitely something I noticed, but you know, yeah.
So the only other things I think I wanted to touch on, unless we want to get diving into any other kind of branches of discussions is a couple of, I think there's a little extra detail in the Outpost Discovery section in the community update that got posted that I wanted to touch on. I'm checking real quick. Oh, there is a total press kit of images and things. So it's on the Waypoint forum. So all the concept art that you saw animated in the trailer, they have high
Which
definition.
Which is gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, it is. There's high definition images that you can go and pull. And these things are huge, by the way.
Josh, quick question. Who gave you the animated MCC background that we're looking at on stream?
I pulled it from their Twitter account.
I was going to say what you should do for the next one is grab the, if you can, grab the Outpost Discovery and use it.
Is there a looping one for Outpost Discovery?
I think it's a little animated, like the Halo moves in the background or something. I saw one somewhere, but yeah.
Who is it tweeted out by?
I don't know. I'll find it for you. I'll look.
Okay. Let's find that bad boy.
No, yeah, I would put that up on the background in a heartbeat.
Put the chat to work
it's
for us.
It's pretty, man. It's really pretty.
There you go. Chat. Yeah.
Chat.
Go forth and go do forth. Good things.
Jinx, you and me a soda. Except I don't drink soda. So
I said it first, according to my ears.
Yeah, but you didn't say Jinx.
Jinx.
That's true. So yeah, there's a whole slew of images, and they're like 8K images, I think. Or
8K?
Four to 8.
They're high res.
Oh, let me. I got a
Really?
Dude, I got a 1440p monitor, and that's enough for me.
Yeah, 4K. 8K, come on. That's like 4 years away before
it's well, so. So I think the biggest one here is 5120 by 2880.
Okay, so that's 5K, not 8K. Freaking hitting us with the 8K. You don't just drop 8K. Come on, man.
Well, I knew it was greater than 4K, and I didn't know what the size exactly was. I just pulled it up now, so give me a break.
No breaks for you.
This is a live podcast.
There's also social media banners as well that you can grab.
And that's what I'm currently using for my Twitter.
Sorry, I like mine. I don't actually know what it is. What is it? Let's find out.
Yeah, my original one, like, my last banner was like, for Kingdom Hearts 3, back then and now. Yeah, have a little change.
Mine's my Halo Christmas cards. I'm too lazy to change it.
But I still have that selfie of myself,
Dang,
actually.
Mine is old. Mine is old. Holy frick.
Oh, one thing that we haven't mentioned yet, there's a streaming deck.
Yes, there is.
So there is going to be streams throughout the weekend. I think there's going to be streams that they have, and also a place for people to stream to their channels Halo content.
Yes.
And they're going to have MCC, Halo 5, Halo Wars 2, probably like all the modern Xbox One and Windows 10 games to stream from the expo. I'm going to start calling it an expo because that seems, I guess that's kind of the most accurate term. It's not a convention.
Yeah,
it's not
probably more accurate.
Or Halo Expo, more likely. I think that sounds a lot better. So HE or something.
But it's a lot of different things. And yeah, it's just, it's a lot to take in. There's a lot of stuff here that I know it hasn't been talked about. I just can't remember all the stuff.
I think
I couldn't write things down fast enough, so I didn't have everything written down.
I think everything that is listed on the website, there's nothing missing. It's just we have greater detail of what that stuff was at one point in the planning phase.
Yeah, some more like granular information.
And something I will say is that the scope of it seems to have expanded even further since we first got the inside scoop, which I, for one, not only am I a fan of, I think is like directly a result of how positive the response to it was at Community Day.
Well, the marketplace wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, the marketplace wasn't there. And they really hadn't mentioned whether or not they were going to be able to do panels or anything else. They kind of just wanted it to be like...
No, they mentioned like, that. They mentioned that they want to do panels.
They mentioned the possibility of it, but they,
well,
they
didn't
were like...
Well, did they expand the game station number 2, I think?
Yeah, they
definitely
did.
Definitely made it bigger than I remember.
I think the response that they got from us behind closed doors was enough for them to really double down on investing in this, and I am very excited to see how that translates to a real thing, especially if it continues in future years.
What you're saying is Installation 01 should be on some of those game stations to play?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we ever release, you know,
soon TM. Come to, you know, the event and play Installation 01.
You heard it here first. Actually, I'm not going to say that because I will actually get killed by everyone else on the team if we announce another release date that we do not fulfill. They will actually stab me. In real life, some of them know where I live. I will wake up tomorrow morning with a knife in my back, and I'll be like, "What did I do?" I saw them. I just got 5 messages from different team members confirming that they will stab me. Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that in the Discord?
Picks or no?
No, my Discord literally just popped up with messages from everyone.
The whole Discord channel should send
you. We will kill you.
So they're listening, then.
Oh, they're good. Definitely listening. We have a relatively new community manager, and when I started talking, he literally just said, "Please no, don't do this."
That's right. You do have a museum. Forgot about that.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, otherwise the project is going great. I don't know if you've seen this stuff that we're putting out recently, but
yeah, we've been covering your updates every week.
Yeah,
we're not covering it this week because we got some. Well, no offense, some bigger news.
Well, got some bigger news. The small fry can move to the side.
Gotta chew the fat first.
Yeah, but you know, this week we dropped the Mark V armor, as I think I mentioned a little earlier, which is Noble Six's armor, and we got some nice high res screenshots of our brute weaponry. We got a brute spiker and the brute shot as well. So if you want to go check that out, I'm gonna plug us again. Installation01.org.
There you go. Seems to, at least this is kind of the one thing I think that I've noticed changed the most from when we first saw it to what was described as the Training Grounds VR.
Yeah, I don't think that was actually in the meeting originally.
It was concepted.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, they touched on something that seemed to be like kind of like this, but as far as a firm, this is a VR experience.
I thought when they mentioned the VR experience, it was just going to be Spartan, whatever, recruit, maybe an expanded version. What we're seeing now is definitely, like you said, much more expanded than that.
That one seems to be the biggest change from what I recall. Laird and Church, do you guys agree, or is there something else you think has undergone some significant change?
Let me look at the map again, because that was really the most like illuminating thing. Because when we saw it, like they really just gave us like verbal descriptions of things and of the stuff that they wanted to do, and then they showed us some pictures, some concept pictures, some of which are in the update, and were some of those high resolution screenshots. And we got like a top down map view of what they wanted the layout to be. I think the Pelican training sim is new, actually. I think they mentioned wanting to do something like that, but like it seemed like it was pretty early in the concept phase back then. They definitely mentioned the escape room. They definitely mentioned streaming and mega constructs, the PX, the Hall of History.
The tour was in there.
Yeah, the tour was in there as well. The VR training grounds, though, that is definitely much more expanded than we saw before. And the armory was there, combat deck, UNSC kiosk, target range, all that stuff was there.
And the cosplay, the cosplay thing, I think, is more expanded, yeah. I think.
But like we said, the marketplace is really big, and just the announcement that they're already looking for stuff for panels and other interesting things is definitely definitely big. Makes me excited. Which makes me wish that I could afford to go to more than just one.
Yep.
Yep. So one of the things that I noticed too is, I noticed this when we first were told about it, but how much more roomy and spacious the expo is compared to a normal gaming convention.
Yeah, that's definitely big. Literally.
And it looks like they've tried to kind of keep that in some of the layouts. It looks a little more tight than it did before.
That's because I think of certain areas. Extra stuff that got added.
Yeah, the marketplace stuff. Yeah. But for the most part, it's not going to be your crammed experience if you were to go to San Diego or PAX.
And that's good because, you know, it's for families, and most of those conventions, while for families, can't really be enjoyed by families because you're running people over with strollers and you're not having room for strollers, or you're not even allowed strollers and stuff. So hopefully this will be nice and relaxed and low-key. Or not low-key, but low-key enough that, you know, it's not like PAX or whatever.
Well, so talking with DJ, which I can finally say this, but he is the event programming manager for Halo Outpost Discovery. So he's basically in charge
of
every experience.
Yeah, I think we most of us knew that by now.
Yeah, I told him like months
especially
ago.
With how his especially with how his Facebook and stuff have been lighting up recently.
Well, so I actually knew he was it back in November or December.
When he posted, yeah, I was like, hey, look.
Harlem Globetrotters, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically anything that's not VR, he's in charge of those experiences.
That's incredibly exciting.
I can't remember. Never mind.
That is incredibly exciting because DJ's a really cool dude. He knows Halo like pretty much no one else when it comes to this side of things.
And he is kind of the community guy outside of Jeff that I would say is best filled for the spot.
Absolutely. I would say that pretty much there's no one better to be honest.
And have to give shout outs to kind of his roots with Griffball Hub.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I think if it wasn't for Griffball Hub, he wouldn't have exploded as much as he has. Just giving him the platform to be that zany but very outgoing and very welcoming face.
To be DJ.
Full of energy. That's the best way I can describe him. Excessive energy.
Yes. But he
said that excitement is freaking infectious.
Oh, it is. I think he said that they're limiting tickets to 10,000 per event.
Oh no! Whatever shall we do?
But they want to keep the experience enjoyable. So they didn't want it to be crowded and stuffed.
I mean, 10,000 is a lot of people, and that's once again that's over a 3-day period. Not everyone goes for all 3 days, so that's something to think about.
Because PAX,
not everyone is crazy like us.
PAX Prime is what, Laird? 7,600?
It's like 80.
What's PAX West?
80,000.
PAX Prime or PAX whatever you want to call it. Is like it's supposed to be 78 attendees, like normal attendees per day is the max attendance.
7,800.
I mean, you've got, you know, exhibitors and, you know, special guests and all that. I would say it's somewhere in excess of 85 per day.
And that's per day. Yeah. So this is going to be roughly a third the capacity if you extrapolate that. Maybe a little bit more.
Because you got to take into account all the special guests, you know, panelists, the workers, you know, all that kind of stuff. On top of attendees, just normal people going. YouTubers or content creators, whatever, right? All that stuff.
So the attendees, they're trying to keep it to where the Halo fans that really want to go are the ones going, and that it's an enjoyable experience for everyone that does decide to attend. So I can respect that, and there's still tickets available to every event.
Grab while you can, man.
I need to grab mine. Which means bye-bye wallet. I didn't want to spend you yet, but okay.
Thank you, Christmas money. They have a couple other things in FAQs and other things. I forget if it was Ward or Church. I think it was Church that may have touched on community panel submissions. They don't have those open yet, but
actually they have open. They've started.
They are open. Yeah, they're all open.
Even though it says March 4th. Monday,
yeah, I know March what it 4th. Says, but they've already started accepting them.
Oh,
let's see, community panels for
yeah. Okay, well then.
That's why I was saying you guys could probably jump on that so you can go to these events without having to pay tickets. I just want to go to one.
I think I might consider trying if I can, but depending on my schedule and all that.
I can't do summer conventions anymore all summer.
Well, and this roadshow is every other weekend.
Yeah. It's almost like it would be a job if you're going to everyone.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a lot of travel, that's for sure.
I'm kind of under the stipulation of I will go if I get invited to go. Otherwise, I'm sticking with Philly, Houston, and now probably Anaheim.
Man, I would love to get invited to go.
And I'm perfectly busy mostly during the summer since, you know, I'm going to be working as an intern during that time. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is be really nice to DJ and hope he, like, you know, offers paid internships.
Yeah, well, this internship's not going to be paid anyways, but it's just something that I'm kind of like, you know, doing for a small business that recently was founded back in 2017. And hopefully that'll help me after I'm finished with college. And then hopefully I'm just like, you know, not in the blue saying, sorry, not enough experience and all that. All that good stuff. Just like, oh, I see that you got the degree, but do you have the experience? No? All right, too bad. So might as well use this opportunity while I can, if it's going to be paid or not. So
are they just taking submissions right now through the contact us form? Because the form that they mentioned isn't on the page yet.
I mean, I don't know if they're accepting them. It's open. Like, you can literally go and fill out your requirements and hit submit.
Oh, I don't see that page when I go to it.
I guess they closed it
because the form isn't live. The form isn't live. They just have they just have the page.
Oh, do they? Okay, because I know I suggested to someone and they said they submitted and it went through. So not went through.
Well, they probably just did contact us because it's not. I don't know if it's a form. They might have a form. We'll see. Tune in next time to find out.
Yeah, well, one of the drop-down options on the contact form is community panel.
It is, yes.
So that might be where it's quote-unquote open for submissions. So yeah, for any content creators or communities out there that listen to us, if you have a particular city that you're going to or your community is meeting up at, then definitely... I don't see why 343 wouldn't accept community panels for communities that have some history in the universe and that have been a place that they recognize as...
It probably won't turn too many places away. Let's just say that.
Right, right. That. Thank you. Laird knew I was going with that.
I mean, even if you're...
You're gonna try to have a podtacular one?
That's what I was saying, Ed, is you guys should have one. So, you know, if you do figure out how to go to Chicago or what was it? Chicago, Philadelphia, Orlando, and Anaheim. I mean, you're planning to go to three. You know, if you do plan to go to the other ones, I mean, free is free, right? You know, just saying. So I was saying the IO guys could say, hey, we're going to go to Philadelphia and show off, you know, on game stations.
I don't think it says that the... That panel community panelists will get free admission. Actually, does it though? Did.
I quoted it from a couple days ago. It said free passes or whatever entrance to the event. I think it was.
Yeah, it says admission does not guarantee travel and accommodations.
That's right, but
you do get a like a panelist badge. Just it's very similar to PAX.
Like
in
it's
that
like
regard.
A media badge or a press badge, whatever you want.
I wonder
call it. It's
if
free entrance into the hall.
I wonder if that's VIP.
That could be a form of VIP.
It's its own VIP.
Very important panelist.
Very important panelist. I don't know.
I bought my 4-weekend VIP passes, and it was like, yep, I just did that.
I don't think I've ever, I don't think I've ever spent that. Actually, yeah, I have. I bought a car, so I have spent that much money at once.
Well, the first one time, time I attended PAX, and the first time I attended PAX, not as media, because the first year I was invited by 343 to be on a panel. But the first year, or the year after, when I actually went on my own, everything that I paid for to go to PAX, so flights, hotel, tickets, and eventually meals, was just shy of $1,300.
Was that the year that we had that like 3.5-hour conversation in the Red Lion lobby?
Actually, I got a fun story regarding this past PAX, yes, and how it ended up costing me double what I budgeted it for.
Was that when you had your lost flight, your canceled flight?
Yeah. So, my canceled flight. So, I was getting ready to come out to PAX, and I had a Thursday flight that was going to land in Seattle at like 10 p.m. And I was flying out of Reagan National Airport, which is in Washington, D.C. And D.C. is one of the worst cities in the entire world for traffic. Well, at least in the States. I don't know about the world. So I left my house 2 hours before my flight was supposed to take off. You know, I figured that's plenty of time to get to the airport to, you know, figure it out. And the plane was, that morning I'd gotten something that the plane was delayed. So I'm 2 hours from the actual departure time, from the like previously listed departure time, and it's like delayed by like half an hour, an hour. So
remember, you were saying I should have plenty of time.
You know, I'm an hour. Yeah, traffic's awful. It takes me an hour and a half to get there, and I'm like, well, you know, it's still an hour out from when it's supposed to be. I was still almost 45 minutes out from when it was supposed to be boarding. So I get there, and I'm like going through security. I'm like, yeah, it's great, it's fine. I'm like looking, checking my phone just to make sure everything looks like I'm going to be good. I get to the gate, and the plane is taxiing away. And this is half an hour before. Reagan National is a small airport. It only took me 15 minutes to get through security. And it was a half an hour before it was supposed to be done with boarding. And they were just leaving. And I was like, that's unfortunate. So I bought another ticket to get to, to get to Seattle, because I still had my return flight booked. So I was like, you know, I'm already invested in this trip. I already brought passes. I already did my whole shebang. I'm already invested in this. So I dropped like, I think it was like $750 on a one-way ticket to Seattle. I had a 6-hour layover in Newark.
Jersey, gross.
Oh gosh, it was awful. And I landed, and that was community day. And I went, like, I got no sleep that night. I landed and I went straight from the airport. I got an Uber straight from the airport to 343.
And that's why, yeah. And then okay, I remember that. Yeah. That was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Or was that last year?
No, this was this past year.
That was this last year.
That was this last year.
I remember, and then on your way out, you spent like a bunch of time in my hotel room. I was like, what, you're still here? I thought you were leaving.
No.
When we came back.
It was miserable. It was thoroughly miserable. And it pretty much doubled what I planned to spend on the trip.
So, did you guys actually do the T-pose over there?
No.
Yeah, no, that was my video. No. Unfortunately.
I'm a grown man. No.
I mean, I just can't believe it. That was a very fun podcast to record, wouldn't you say, Dust?
It actually, for what we did, it actually turned out okay. And I did buy an omnidirectional microphone to plug into a computer when we do that again.
I'll dab, but T-posing was my limit.
Yeah, you could definitely thank Hidden Xperia for starting that trend with the dabbing back in 2017.
Actually, you can thank me, because I was the one that told them to do that, and I took the picture.
Oh, I guess I'm actually meeting the guy. I actually did the whole thing.
For the community, yeah.
T-pose for Halo 2018 is a dead meme.
Yeah, so I guess
it's gonna be something else.
I guess we're kind of ran out of some things, or do the hunter pose for Halo in 2019.
The hunter pose.
Oof. Actually, we were talking about The joke was, or the story behind Tebow was, or not Tebow, the Tebows. I actually said when I was having coffee at Starbucks in Seattle, I know, right, with Late Night and Hidden Xperia, that was right before you showed up, Dust, I think, when we were in that Starbucks. But the thing was, we were this year, we're talking about, what's his name, that football player, the Tebow, the knee. That was what we were going to do.
Tim Tebow?
Yeah, we're going to do the
Colin
Tebow.
Kaepernick? What?
This year is apparently what we're going to do for 2019.
Spoiler alert. Taking a knee? What?
Spoiler. We're just swapping pack stories. I was just saying that this year coming up, that right. 2019, right before you showed up from the airport at that Starbucks with me in Late Night and Hidden Xperia, we were, the idea for the new Halo meme for the community is going to be Tebow, like the take a knee.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
For 2019 or whatever.
Is that meme-y enough?
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, we're busting out old memes, so they did the Tebows, so I mean, why not? Busting out the old memes.
Sure.
So, probably do the Harlem Shake for Halo in 2020, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
No, please no.
That's a dead meme.
What was that one? Man.
Doesn't it have to be like a slightly old meme? Isn't that kind of what we've done for
do
the past
Gangnam
2 years?
Style 1 year, you know.
Oh my gosh, what year was Gangnam Style?
I don't know.
14?
Yeah,
14? 13 or 14?
I'm googling it. We have the power.
Yeah, they actually had the music like one of the school dances back at my high school I used to go to. It was like for homecoming and then prom. And they
2012, October 23rd, 2012.
There you
go.
Wow.
Yeah. I was still in high school during that time. So that kind of explains Ouch. Why they were playing that song at the homecoming dances.
Actually, July 15th, 2012, even earlier. Dang. That's a fake video that says official music video. Who'd have thunk?
What's left on the docket?
As far as Outpost Discovery, I think we covered most of the general public information at this point. I guess my question would be to wrap it up, would be over to GTM Ward of, like, what are you guys most excited about it?
There's
the
actually
fact
a lot
that
of things.
It exists.
I don't know. Just, you know, I said, like, you know, about the cinematic experience, like with the dome and all that. I know that I said that was like one of the things I was excited about, but so far, I'm actually pretty excited about almost every aspect of Halo Outpost, to be honest. Just, so yeah, I'm always like, you know, open to new things.
Okay.
Go, GT, go.
No, I'm honestly just Fly, really excited free. About the whole thing. You know, I really hope I get the opportunity to take part in it.
It'd be cool to get you out to one of them. I know there's the whole trying to get, I mean, having Infinite possibly come out next year and having, depends if the roadshow is still going or not, or the expo is still going. But if Infinite's going to come out next year, then there's going to be a lot of stuff, not at just the expo, but at the gaming convention. So that's, I got to start planning on saving for both this year and next year if I really need to.
Money. Money is a thing.
Money, 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 money.
I'm excited to see the nerds in a Halo environment instead of at PAX about Halo. You know, we can literally be in our own environment. This is for us with our extended nerd family.
In our
element. There you go. That's what I was looking for.
Exactly. Very nice. So a couple other just general note things that we go with over every week. In the update, there is some playlist updates that Uni does touch on. So MCC is free to play this weekend for Xbox Gold members.
And see that?
So if you do not have Game Pass or you don't own MCC, then if you have Xbox Gold, then you can play MCC for free this weekend, and that is available now. They did make a couple of changes to some of the MCC playlists. So on the social side, for 4v4 Halo 3 Assault, One Bomb Assault BR has been added for Ghost Town and Orbital. 4v4 Halo 3 Assault, Neutral Bomb Assault BR is replacing Multi-Bomb Assault on Citadel, Heretic, and Isolation. And then for 8v8 Halo 3 King of the Hill, they added Crazy King BR to Valhalla, Rat's Nest, nice. Standoff, and Longshore. So the bottom line is more BR. More BR.
Not Battle Royale.
Right. Apex Legends, though.
So Fraggin' Fridays after this?
Actually, Fraggin' Friday has been going on for about the last half hour.
Oh, I didn't know.
Dun, dun, dun. Plot twist. You were in Fraggin' Friday the whole time.
The whole time. On the competitive side of things, for Halo 3 Team Arena, Neutral Bomb has been replaced with Multi-Bomb on Heretic and Isolation, and an exploit to get the ball out of the map has been fixed for Oddball on Blackout. Globally, for the Epilogue map, which is a modification of Epitaph in Halo 3, the Brute Shot has been placed on the top mid-floating platform to align with the legacy behavior. And they also note that MCC updates are going to continue to be scheduled for every Wednesday. Those updates get posted in the forums first by Postums, and then they're wrapped up into the community updates. So if you want the day that it goes live updates, then you need to make sure you're checking the MCC forums. For Halo 5, Mythic Shoddy Snipers is available now, and Action Sack leaves us from the playlist side of things, and that happened today. On February 12th, Warzone XP Boost Packs will return. So that's where if you have 150,000 rec points, you can get 20 legendary XP boosts.
Did you just say 120,000 rec points?
150,000.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it was less. It's actually more. Cool. What the frick? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I just get happy every time I get a gold rec pack. I'm like, ooh, 10,000 rec points. There you Yay. Go. 150. Holy frick.
Yep. On February 14th, Community Doubles returns for Valentine's Day. Jumping on.
There were split screen.
Same stuff that they did last. The previous years for Valentine's Day. If you jump on during the Valentine's Day weekend, you'll get the Valentine's Day pack.
But is the Valentine's Day pack worth more than your girlfriend and or significant other's love?
Yes.
Try playing Halo and see how they react if you play Halo on Valentine's Day, and then you can find out for yourself.
Yep, the true test. Right there.
The true test of a relationship is, can you play Halo on Valentine's Day without your significant other stabbing you in your sleep that night?
Okay.
Gus, are you gonna try?
I mean, I've done it in the past where I've played on. Well, I mean, while we were dating, obviously this will be our first Valentine's as a married couple. But
I too enjoy living dangerously.
Gonna make that into a meme now.
I mean, sure.
Also on February 14th, Warzone Assault will return, and they also described the rotational behaviors for Warzone Assault. Wow, I can't talk all of a sudden. Warzone Turbo. So every month, Warzone Assault will be the middle weekend of the month, and Warzone Turbo will be the last weekend of the month. So for February, Warzone Assault will be the 14th, and then Warzone Turbo will be the 28th. On the 21st of February, Halo 3 Classic Throwback will rotate in for Roman King of the Hill. And then on March 5th, the Spring 2019 Arena season begins. So get your placement matches done before March 5th in 4 weeks. So those are the playlist updates that I have to cover. And then there's also This Week in Halo, they posted one of those. On February 1st, 2553, Joel Umdama joins Avu Med Telcam and the Servants of the Abiding Truth, standing in opposition of the Arbiter.
Hmm. That sounds really familiar.
I know, because like, I finished that
book. Someone just finished after 5 years.
Speaking of books, anybody got their copy of Renegades early? Oh man, that story's so awesome. It's one of the best ones recently.
You guys have time to read. That's
rub
cool.
Rub it in, Laird.
Hey, I didn't get an early copy from anybody. I just went to the bookstore and found it.
I only just finished the Troy.
Every book in the series, to be honest.
I almost just finished the Troy Denning book we got at Community Day over winter break. I am so behind the times with the lore in the books. It's not even funny. Makes me sad.
We should compare notes because I'm behind. I'm really far behind.
Well, let's put it this way.
I've personally been keeping up with them every book, which is why I'm kind of like, you know, currently behind on Game of Thrones at this point, where I'm trying to read the books then, watch the seasons, correspond to them, and all that. They're actually pretty good, by the way.
Renegades is so good that it's knocked out Ghost of Onyx as one of my top three that I recommend people read of Halo books. Like, this is a tentpole book. You guys should really make sure you get around to it.
I will, eventually. I'm
not getting around to every piece of Halo literature.
No, but I mean, just... like, if you've got a backlist or a backlog, this should go right to the front kind of thing, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. I read Ghost of Onyx way back when I was in middle school, over 10 years ago. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't discuss how old I was when I started reading Halo
books. I'm not giving spoilers, but I'm just saying it's that good that I would say drop all what you've got ahead of it and put it to the front and get into it.
Duly noted. You'll be happy, GT. I'm actually a third of the way through Mortal Dictata.
Oh, well, then I guess I probably ought to get to reviewing my book.
That's a tough one to get through, just FYI.
So far, it's been okay.
It's okay. Yeah, I mean, it's still a tough one. You'll find out.
See, I personally like Karen Travis. I like her other books. Like, I read all the Republic Commando books, and I really like her trilogy.
And the Gears of War books she wrote.
I think they're very solid.
Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah? The Kilo 5 trilogy books, I like the first two. The third one is just a little rough. That's all.
To each their own opinion.
And also, Envoy is actually pretty good, by the way. If you like the Gold Protocol.
Envoy is great.
Yeah, and also, Fractures actually is also pretty good as well. It has, like, you know, so many
great short stories. What's that one that nobody likes, except the Covenant, but people that really love the Covenant?
Let's see, The Flood?
No.
See, I know a lot of people hate The Flood, but personally,
story. I can't remember.
How can you hate The Flood book?
I like it.
I don't know.
It's the Halo CE campaign.
I know.
I like it.
No, but
yeah, I heard a lot of people.
What is that one with? It's got like Covenant ships on the cover, and that's all it's got on it.
Yeah, I believe that might be
Broken Circle.
Broken Circle. That's it. I just, no matter how many times I pick it up and try, I just can't do it.
I've tried reading that book 3 times, and I've only made it 40% of the way through.
I actually read through it like at 100%.
I've gone through that book like 3 times. Don't get me wrong; it doesn't make the top of the list, but it's a decent story.
I'd rather read that one the young adult one than Broken Circle, and I cut whatever it was called, the one that just came out.
Yeah, I didn't really find Broken Circle to be that bad, since it kind of like, you know, gave the history of the Covenant, and then from when they were first established into how they led to their downfall and all that. And also kind of like, you know, gave me like after I heard the name, the foreigner ship called the Dreadnought, it actually kind of like changed the way I played Halo 3 whenever we saw a Prophet of Truth, just like constantly mentioning the Dreadnought. It's like, oh, now that makes sense now. What he's just trying to say, they threw that hologram.
Give me some more Shadow of Intent.
Yeah. See, that's the thing I really love about the Halo lore, is like, it's able to stand on its own, and the games are also able to stand on their own, but you can go back and you can gain so much more of an enriched experience by like seeing where the two meet.
Oh, definitely.
With the obvious exception of the Fall of Reach.
I think a lot of people get hooked in that way to Halo.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Reach is great. I'm going to get a lot of flack for saying that. I feel like I like Reach. I like Reach's story on its own.
I like Reach's armor.
I also like the Fall of Reach book.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, they're two different stories, and that happened, and I like both.
Oh, to each their own.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I actually did like Halo 4, to be honest, just like after reading some of the books from the Forerunner Saga and seeing the Didact for the first time.
The one thing that I do like from Halo Reach, bring back Armor Lock. Do it. Halo Infinite,
no.
Armor Lock.
No.
Are you, serious?
No. Do it.
Are you actually serious?
How about instead of Armor Lock, how about we... No. Here, I got a better idea. Instead of like bringing back Armor
Lock, carry dual wielding bull shots so I can just troll people. That's what I want.
Well,
do it.
Instead of like having all that, how about we just like bring back dual wielding instead?
No. Armor Lock.
You suck. And
IO1 will have dual wielding.
Dude, dual wielding is probably like one of the best features in Halo, in my opinion. Like, I talk about it on Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going off topic.
Last couple of things to wrap it up. There is a 2-person cabinet of Halo Fireteam Raven.
For like $20,000.
I want.
I thought it was like, it's like, is it $25,000?
No, it's like, on the website, it says $17,000 US. According to another person that I know probably bought one, he said 13 for him. So that I assume means he got some kind of a discount. So I'm going to go anywhere between 12 and 17 for the 2-player one.
Let's hope they have that in Halo Outposts, to be honest, because I could, like, you know, played it back in New Orleans, but I got fully distracted with HCS and all that good stuff.
I'm still sad that I didn't play it at the studio.
Me neither. Friggin' Green Skull is on that thing, like, for an hour.
Yeah, you better believe it. I need to get some friends and go to a Dave & Buster's.
Friends. Who needs those?
Couch co-op buddies.
Yeah, but I had to get a little distracted.
I did find that there's a Dave & Buster's actually closer to me than the one I thought that I was here.
You know, we totally failed. We had planned to play Fireteam Raven before we went to well, we were at PAX, but we all failed. No one wanted to go to the
best laid plans.
The Dave & Buster's was like an hour north of Seattle, and just no one wanted to go.
Yeah, it's a bit far, I'm not going
to
lie.
And the only Dave & Buster's that's close to me is way out there in New Orleans while I'm, like, you know, live close to Baton Rouge.
So what we're saying is someone needs to get on that and hack the game and put it on PC or something.
Oh, hold up. What?
What?
Hard pass. Hard pass. I like our implementation of that, where we're just like, yeah, we could do that, or we could make our own game.
I think another PC mod should add those levels into the game, into their mod. That would be fun.
I'm gonna choose not to comment on that.
Like I said.
Well, I am kind of learning how to.
Why would that be?
I don't know. Maybe because it's completely unrelated to my project and I have nothing to say.
Another group.
And the fact that my project is legal. That one too.
Oh, I'm not talking about
Picky.
I'm not talking about that group. I'm talking about the campaign mod.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I didn't think you. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Technically, SPV3 is like original content.
Yes, that's what I was saying. They could.
So it's a little different.
They could put the levels in that came from.
I feel like we're talking about a. Giant.
No, not them.
Oh, no, we're getting into a giant gray area at that point. Though.
About All right. Or not El Dorito.
No,
I was talking about SPV3.
Right. That's okay. That's what I was talking about too. It's not all original, but anyways.
But like, I'm talking about like assets and stuff.
Right. That's what I mean.
I was just saying SPV3 should, like, the idea is they should take really detailed notes of the levels that are on Raven and add them to their campaign if they can.
Yeah, maybe.
Last thing I'm going to mention is you have 1 week to get the tech loot crate featuring Cat. That ends on the 15th of February, which is a week from today to next Friday. If you head on over,
is she any better at driving a warthog?
Probably not.
That's unfortunate.
She got better at driving it off a cliff.
Or running it over.
I haven't had that one yet. Off the cliff.
I've had that many times. I'd be like, yeah, come on. Just come pick me up, Cat.
And she's always in the turret.
Yep. Don't let her drive.
Never let Cat drive.
So, podtacular.com/lootcrate. And use podtacular at checkout. We'll get $3 off of your crate. And there's a couple other things that will follow up on that we haven't covered over the past couple of weeks, just because I wanted to focus this podcast exclusively on Outpost Discovery because it deserves its own podcast. And we are looking to have, I've already reached out to DJ. He wants to be on the show. He just has to get it cleared. I'm also going to reach out to KP because he's kind of the 343 side of things that is head hunting the whole effort from the studio's perspective. So I'm looking to try to get them both on the podcast within the next 3 weeks.
That'd be very cool.
So look forward to that coming down the pipeline. Also, the Halo Downfall guys want to be back on the show. Marky reached out to me, so we're going to have them on probably towards the last part of this month or the beginning part of March. So that'll be cool. And somewhere around that time frame is when we'll have our first book podcast of the year. So that'll happen as well. I put this out as a question for topic of the week, but since the Outpost Discovery thing came out, I postponed it a week. So just going to restate it here for next week. With the latest updates that have come out for MCC, what additional features would you like to see included in future updates?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question.
Get some loaded answers out of that. So I'm going to post that in the Discord and on Twitter again and get some of that drummed up starting on Sunday after the podcast gets posted. And then we'll go and have that be our topic of discussion next week, unless we get some other crazy news, which I don't think we will. But
Halo Infinite releasing this September. Yeah.
Yeah,
you
right.
You know everyone's Halo first Infinite question
is actually out yesterday.
PC. Everyone wants it on PC, PC, PC.
They've already said that's going to be on PC.
No.
They've never directly answered it.
Oh, MCC. Gotcha.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everyone wants that.
It'll definitely help. Though.
But in the meantime, you can check out Installation 01, which is on PC and will release soon. Gosh. TM.
star.
Read the fine print.
I think I need my password reset, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay, just shoot me a message.
I'll follow up with you later.
All right.
But yeah, so I think that covers it for tonight. Anyone have any last comments they want to get in about Outpost
any
Discovery,
last words?
Any last words until we have more words in the future to talk about?
Well, not that I know of, but all I can say is that I'm pretty excited to see and hear what we can expect from Halo Outpost in the coming months.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great.
See you there.
So, say that again.
That's all I've got to say.
Right?
See you there.
Yep.
So you can check us out on our social media pages. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No MySpace.
Facts. Voicemail.
Oh, break everybody's heart with us.
That's not social media.
You should make a MySpace for
Contact. Sure it is. Have you ever heard of group facts?
Wait. Let me look it up. Email. MySpace. Is MySpace still a thing?
MySpace is still a thing. No, wow, MySpace is still very much a thing.
Yeah, it's same with I Love Bees.
It's
like
not what it was, but yeah, it's still there.
Gosh, I don't even know what I'm looking at right now.
I Love Bees website that was there to promote Halo 2. Like, if you look it up and then it's actually still there.
Yep, Cassandra.
I need to finish listening to those. I listened to about half of them. I need to finish those. You can also check us out on our streaming platforms. We stream our game nights and our podcasts on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. And additionally, for the podcast, we stream on Periscope and Facebook as well. So you can check us out on all five of those platforms when we do the podcast. You can also check out our Spartan Company and Xbox Clubs. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere where you get your podcasts, you can find them across pretty much all podcast platforms. I think
wherever podcasts can be found.
Exactly.
Hire me for your movie announcements.
That is going to be it for tonight. Thank you everybody for tuning in via live stream and via download. We'll catch you all next week. And until then, keep on fragging them drugs.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
Right. See you on the next one.
Come on, nerds.